Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Bayard Winthrop, founder of American Giant. We make all our clothing right here in the U.S. with American cotton and American workers. Get 20% off your first order when you use code GIANT20 at American-Giant.com.
The Burt Show.
One of you guys hit us up and asked us a very interesting question the other day. Is that how much did the poo dude make from Kristen's forehead billboard yesterday? I would like to know the receipts on that.
I would too. That's why I sent the DM. I'm like, that actually would be nice to know if he saw a little uptake and people hitting himself up, hitting Cameron up to come swing by their backyard and pick up their dog poop.
So there is space on Kristen's forehead that we have leased out this week. For Burt's Big Adventure. Yesterday, it was the poo dude who had a tattoo on, a temporary tattoo on Kristen's forehead that went flawlessly. Mm-hmm. Today, we have run into some snags, but dang it, Kristen has come through and has been determined to give Grand Arch Tree Service the due that they deserve.
Yes. If there is anything, I do like to consider myself a problem solver. So this is the temporary tattoo that is taped to my eyeglasses, but it wasn't printed the right way. It has to be printed backwards. That way, when I adhere it to my forehead, you're able to read it. But we have hit some snags, and we haven't been able to print it out. And now the intern is out getting ink for the printer.
We ran out of ink also for the printer.
Yes, that was the first problem was it was printed backwards. Second problem, we couldn't figure out how to print it to one printer. So we got a second printer. Then we couldn't get it printed on that one because there was no ink.
Man, things run smoothly around this joint.
And I'm supposed to have eye black with the phone number because the phone number didn't fit on my forehead, but that package didn't come from Amazon. So intern Sadie was out getting me a black eyeliner, but she had to pick up the ink. So that's been delayed as well.
Hey, janky or not, it's on your forehead.
It's there.
Okay, it's there.
Grand Arch Tree Service, thank you for your service and for putting up with us today.
All right, Abby, you are online dating app Silver the last month.
Uh-huh. And this weekend is going to be a big test for me because the last 30 days have honestly been a lot easier than I expected. Last time around, we did this experiment similar time last year, and this was a challenge against my will. Bert came to me, said, I'll give you $1,000 if you can stay off the dating apps. I'm like, that's going to be hard. And I stayed off the apps. I didn't get on them, but they were still on my phone. And I think even through the 30-day experience, I was like, I'm going to get back on the apps. Like, that's happening. Like, I'm getting back out there again. This time around, this came from the depths of my soul. Like, I'm pushing 28, and I have just gotten to a point where I am doing the same song and dance every single Thursday night, getting on the apps and matching with somebody and then doing a drink date that goes nowhere. And I just realized the apps aren't for me anymore. So I not only got off the apps, I deleted my accounts.
That's a big deal.
And then I deleted them off my phone.
Check it.
Done. Your girl means business. So
it does seem like Groundhog Day when it comes to dating on these apps, man. It's the same thing over and over and over again.
I think I've also just realized that I'm the type of person that in order to have a successful relationship, I do need to see somebody in person because I've had experiences where it's like, you know, you might find somebody attractive in the photo, but somebody's energy is just different. And so then I was like, well, maybe I should do calls beforehand to like just suss them out before I waste 3 hours of my time getting ready and doing my hair and doing the whole thing. And I feel like the last 30 days has been, honestly, this is probably too much of a stretch, but it has been life-changing. Like the
that's a bold statement.
And I think any single girl in their 20s can relate to this where you kind of expected, based off of history with your parents, like I feel like most of our parents found their quote-unquote person in their 20s. And I think there was this expectation that it was like a government-issued husband. Like you turn 26 and then you meet some guy named Larry in a bar and you ride off into the sunset. And so there's this kind of thing that happens through your life, you're not constantly thinking about it, but your head is sort of always on a swivel and you're thinking, is today the day that I'm going to tell my kids or my nieces about for the rest of my life? Like when that guy sits next to me on an airplane, is this the story that we're going to tell like our kids or whatever?
Do you think that every time you see a potential suitor?
100%.
Really?
Every single time I'm out, I'm like, is this it? Like, you kind of play that narrative in your head. Like, is this the story that you're going to tell people 30 years from now?
But doesn't that create unrealistic expectations?
Yes, it does. Okay. It's unhealthy.
But everyone does it.
I love the self-awareness.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it.
Yes.
Because not every interaction, not every time you go out to a bar is going to be some life-changing moment, but you want it to be. And when you get to your late 20s, you feel like at this point you've put in the time.
Yeah.
Like it should be time by now.
And there's no way, again, I think the thing that I'm trying to stress is there's no way to go to those places at face value without that being the intent. Like just going to a bar or going and hanging out with your girls. And if dudes approach you, great. If they don't, great. There's no way to like sort of flip that switch?
No, I think it just depends on the night. Like, for example, this weekend, me and my friend literally looked at each other and we're like, we're getting hit on this weekend. And of course, that's the weekend you don't get hit on. And then the weekend you go out, you don't really care. And, you know, you still look cute and you're still happy and having a good time. That's the weekend that literally every man wants to hit you up.
I don't know what it is. You know, we used to say like, women and guys can sniff it out. They can sniff out that wanting too much and that's when they stay away from you. And if you really don't care, like you said, it just, I don't know how the universe works that way. Then the attraction happens.
I'm not giving men that much credit. I think it's the universe. I think the universe sees two girly pops having a good time looking real cute and wants to screw us over. So anyway, I've been off the apps for about a month now, and I am surprised that I've been able to do it completely cold turkey. Like I have not once redownloaded Hinge or remade my apps. Like I've thought about it. There have been moments where I've like thought about relapsing. I'm like, let me just get the validation. Like, let me just get on. Like someone tell me I'm pretty. And then I say no.
What are you doing with all your time?
Kristen, there's so much to do, apparently.
Can I back up for just 1 second before we get into that? Because I'm really curious about that also. But are these dating apps, based on what you just said, and I've never had the experience of being on one, when somebody is coming on to you for the first time or they are swiping right and you're swiping right, that is like an immediate dopamine hit, right? And then the kissing booty part of the whole thing, the first couple of texts are like all dopamine hits. So you're getting sort of a bit of a drug.
Yeah, it's kind of like, if you want to put it in a relationship term, it's kind of like getting on Instagram and when you see a like on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, is it making your day? No, but it does kind of fill this void that you have because humans are designed for connection. And when you've gone as long as I have without a relationship or any kind of significant romantic interaction, like you're just taking these scraps, like you're just taking whatever crumbs come your way. And so that's why it is really hard for people to give up the apps, because it's like, if I'm, you know, going this long without a person, like at the very least, that primal part of myself that wants to feel desired and validated is in some way getting satiated. And so in a way, it's been hard giving that up. But at the same time, I do feel like the universe has rewarded me in the sense that I feel like the last 2 months of my life, I have had so many positive in-person interactions with men that I just feel like this was the last thing I had to do to tell the universe I'm ready. And I feel like 28, I've felt this ever since 2025 came into the picture. I feel like this is my year.
Really?
I'm putting it out. Oh, God, now the universe is going to be like, just kidding. No. I just feel like I have felt this energy about 2025 that I might not meet Mr. Right, but I might meet a man.
Mr. Right Now?
Mr. Right Now. I have that energy about 2025.
Okay.
So I think the universe is going to reward me by deleting the apps. I feel it in the air.
Okay.
There's a sizzle happening.
Manifest it, baby.
I'm putting it out into the ether.
But isn't that exactly the opposite of what's been happening to you the last month to bring you to this point? Is you not caring nearly as much?
Well, I don't care nearly as much because at this point I'm like, well, dang, if it hasn't happened now, it's probably just never happening. But I do just feel like there is this positive energy for my romantic life happening, whether it is Mr. Right or Mr. Right Now, that I feel like I'm just in a good place and I'm glad that the apps aren't not a part of it because I have so many more hours in my day now.
Yeah, it must be so relieving not to be checking all the time, constantly. Like, it's got to be on your mind all the time.
Yeah, and now it's not. Now I have time for hobbies and becoming a full person. So this is real character growth for me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
In case I haven't drilled it into your heads enough that it is dismal out here in the dating world, I came across a photo from an account on Instagram called @puberty that really just made me lose any hope that I was going to meet a man in the wild, which is what I'm doing now, considering I'm officially off the apps, now sober for 30 days.
And the source is @puberty?
Yep. This is the illustrious Instagram account @puberty that said that nearly half of young men have never asked out a woman in person. A study by Date Psychology found that 45% of men aged 18 to 25 have never approached a woman for a date. And they say their biggest reason was fear of rejection and social backlash, which, duh, it's kind of like fork found in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I'm like, I get that it's terrifying, but that is a very high percentage.
Right, half? Well, it's a high percentage, I think, when you're talking about people our age. Yes. But when you're talking about people Abby's age that have now grown up on the internet and have grown up with dating apps and most of their life is in their hands now on their phone, it does make some sense.
I get the logistics, like, you know, when you're just looking at it black and white. However, if you met a man who has never asked out a woman in person, I feel like that's a huge red flag.
A 100. Well, I don't know if it's a red flag. It's a turnoff for someone like me. Like, I need somebody who's forward.
Like, and grow a pair.
And I always respect a guy more, even if I have no intention of going out with him. If he comes up and asks for my number, I have a rule that no matter what, I will give him my phone number. Like, I would rather reject him over text in private than stand there and make a fool out of him in front of the entire bar.
This
That's
is the kindest thing you've ever said in your life.
Oh, thank you.
You're so altruistic.
I'm Mother Teresa. But that's also because I'm the type of woman who is sick of not getting approached. So I approach men. Like, y'all have seen me out in the wild. You get me to sniff a little bit of tequila and I'm out approaching a group of like 10 guys out at a bar, because that's how you meet people. Because I just don't understand why if I, as a woman, can get rejected by a man, like, it is so much better to get rejected by a woman. We are so nice 9 times out of 10.
I don't know if that's true.
Really?
Yeah, there are a lot of mean people out there.
Have you been rejected by a woman in a mean way?
So I have never had the confidence to approach a woman that is in a group setting with other women, because I have had friends that have done it that are way more confident than I am. And there are some women that really take a lot of pride in belittling dudes and really being mean.
That can't be the majority.
I wouldn't risk it. I just don't have the I wouldn't have had the confidence to risk it.
I'm intrigued too, because I immediately jumped into the comments, because I was, you know, like, what is the women's saying? And then one guy says, well, nowadays it's harder since you're titled a creep just by breathing the same air as someone close by that you want to talk to.
That's not untrue. Yeah. I mean,
I feel like that is far and few between. I don't feel like,
well, I think that a lot of these cases that, how do I say this in a PC way, but also be honest, that we talked about this when it came to adolescence also. I think men are in a weird spot right now, and young men are in a weird spot right now, that they don't want to come anywhere near sniffing, feeling like they're being perceived as creepy. So they're not exactly sure what their role is anymore. And then when young men talk about it, I feel like a lot of times they are met by women going, oh, welcome to our world for our entire lives. So kind of we're not talking about it in an authentic way.
Yeah. And I do think it's probably very confusing for men, because you do have women, and, you know, I'm one of them, who are like, please, can I just exist? I mean, not like they're banging down my door, but you know what I mean? Like, I want to exist in the wild without being approached. Can you just leave me alone and let me be? And there are other women who are like, well, no, I want you to approach me when I'm out and about. That's how you meet people. So as a dude, I have to imagine it is very hard to navigate a situation where you're like, the same thing. Can I approach them? Will they think I'm a creep? Do they want to be left alone? Versus, is this how I meet my future spouse?
I do think the creep argument is a little bit of a cop-out.
Same.
Because I feel like the female equivalent is desperate. You know how many guys have probably thought that I was desperate or thirsty because I approached them and I made the first move? Because guys will say the same thing, like, oh, it's so hot when a girl, like, knows what she wants. But yet, I have been rejected to my face multiple times and even been called, you know, inappropriate names for approaching a guy. Like, I've been there. Like, I feel like I can have this argument because I have put myself in those shoes. And I feel like it needs to swing in the other direction of not being afraid of this rejection, because women need to get used to being approached in a way that doesn't come off creepy or slimy or skeezy, so that men stop fearing being called a creep. And it'll just be like this beautiful circle of life of people are used to getting approached, and it doesn't come off as like a weird, skeezy thing.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Abby. I find the creepy thing like a cop-out, and I feel like then it's like blaming women as to why I don't approach you. It's your fault. And are those instances out there? Probably. But on the whole, it's like we should have common sense. Not everybody does, but we should have common sense. And if you come up and you approach a woman and you muster up the courage and you approach a woman, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend, or, you know, I'm married, which I have done before. Then you're like, okay, my bad. Well, it was nice to meet you. End of story. Like it literally, maybe I'm just simplifying it too much,
yeah,
but I really feel like it's that easy and it's that simple. Now, if you come up and you're like, hey, baby, and like you act like a creep, well, then you're going to get called a creep.
I think you guys are doing a healthy share of woman-splaining this morning, of saying that you're not really giving a lot of credibility to guys and this sort of attitude that we don't want to be perceived as creep, because I'm telling you, as a guy, this is exactly how they feel.
But I also feel like I'm tired of being blamed. Is that's the reason why you're not approaching, that it's our fault?
I can't tell you which came first, the chicken or the egg in this situation, but I can tell you where we're at.
Well, somebody needs to fry something.
Either the chicken or the egg.
Now I'm just hungry.
Here is Ryan.
I'm hungry. We need to eat. The single ladies need to eat.
Hey, Ryan, you have never asked a woman out face to face.
Hey, guys. Yes, that is true.
And why is that?
So, you know, basically, like, I'm in my mid-20s, and, you know, I'm still have never asked a woman out face-to-face. It's just, it's always been through social media or dating apps. And, you know, I've had crushes in high school, but I was always too nervous, I guess, to say anything. And I just follow the girls, like, on Instagram, maybe drop a like and hope they would notice me. And, that never worked, by the way. Then in college, dating apps, you know, were all of a sudden everywhere. So I kind of leaned into that, and it just felt easier to message someone than to risk total humiliation in person of being rejected, you know? So I don't know. I guess rejection online doesn't feel as personal. If someone ghosts me, it's like, you know, whatever, on to the next. But if I were to get turned down in person, it just, I don't know, it feels like a public failure to me.
I wish I could have given myself this advice years and years and years ago. But I mean, when you're talking about going up and saying something to a woman in person, if she does reject you, you're talking about 30 seconds of uncomfortableness in your life, really. That's really it. Unless it like reaches you at some like internal place that really can set you back. I mean, you're talking about 30 to 60 seconds of uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, that's character. It does. And I can tell you, as somebody who's approached men multiple times, there's like maybe one occasion that sticks with me. Like, it sucks in the moment, but typically, I mean, at least for me in these interactions, I'm usually out drinking with friends, and there's usually nicer, more fun memories that override the uncomfortableness. But I just couldn't live with the regret of never putting myself out there if I saw somebody that I thought would be worth talking to.
So, Ryan, can we put you on the spot? Can we give you a Burt Show homework assignment? And that is that over the next couple of days, you have to be out in public and find a woman that, not just anybody, but actually find somebody that you would be interested in going on a date with and ask her out on a date face to face.
I know I need to just rip the Band-Aid off, you know, instead of putting it off. So I'll say I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's do this. Let's spend 60 seconds doing this. Women, give him advice. If he's never done it before, give him advice that would give him the best chance of success when approaching a woman.
Drink a lot.
No, do not.
I'm kidding.
That's a joke, Ryan.
I guess it depends on the environment, but I'm going to assume that maybe you're out at a cocktail bar. I feel like your best chance of success is maybe a weeknight around 6 p.m. and it's a woman and her friend sitting at the bar enjoying a nice glass of wine. The first thing you got to do, suss out the situation, kind of observe. Do they look like they're deep entrenched in conversation, or do they look like they're just having a casual chat? If it looks like it's a casual chat, just approach them. acknowledge both of them, because there's nothing worse than when your friend just gets all the attention and you're sitting there like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm just chopped liver. Acknowledge both of the women and just say, hey, notice you from across the bar. You're a beautiful woman. Would love to get to know you sometime. Do you mind giving me your number, or you can give her your number as well?
So just so I'm clear, telling a woman that you think she's beautiful in the very first time you talk to her mm-hmm. is not creepy.
That's an objective statement. Yeah. It's okay. Not like, well, baby, you look so good in that V-neck top. That's creepy. Just saying you're an attractive woman is an objective, almost emotionless statement.
Like coming up being like, I like the way that booty go ba-donk-a-donk.
Yeah, no, that's creepy. But just like Abby just said, it's like, hey, I couldn't help but notice. I think you're so beautiful. Would love to take you out, blah, 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 whatever.
Would be interested in getting to know you sometime. And then she can either shoot you down or not.
All right, Ryan, here's our practice run real quick. You're asking Abby out. This is going to be a little easier than real life because you can't see her, but go ahead. Go for it.
Okay, I'm sitting here.
Oh, we're talking.
Hey, hey, oh my God.
Yeah, can you believe that caller that we had on the air?
So crazy. I'm off the apps now.
Yeah.
Hey. So hey, I just saw you guys from across the bar. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing really good. How are you?
I'm good. My name's Ryan. What's your guys' name?
Hi, Ryan. I'm Abby.
And I'm Kristen.
Cool. Nice. Are you guys having fun tonight?
We are. You know, we're just catching up, having this delicious Sauvignon Blanc. It's our favorite.
It's so good. Oh, hey. You have to get the ones from New Zealand. They're the best.
You're so zippy.
Very nice. Well, hey, you know, not to be forward or anything, but I just want to let you know, I think you're really pretty, and I was just chilling here at the bar. I thought I would come up and say, hey, and I don't know, maybe if you guys want a drink or something, I could get you one after you're done with this.
Kristen, this is where you go, oh my God, thank you so much. And Abby goes, no, and then he says, no, I'm talking to the other one.
In my head, he is definitely not turned towards me. He's turned towards Abby and talking to her. All right. I'm very excited for my friend.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. Here's the wine list. We love the most expensive one on the list.
And we want the 9-ounce pour, not the 6-ounce pour.
Yeah, we want the vodka.
All right, cool. Well, I have a good job, so I'll treat you guys tonight.
Okay, Ryan, you're oversharing. I don't need to see your LinkedIn. Just pull out the flatty.
No, I need to see your tax records from 2024 and 2023, please.
Yeah, and your social security number.
You know what, Ryan? I don't think when you do this, and I think we should do it, we should try it today.
Yeah.
When you do this, the goal here is to not get the number. That is not the definition of success here for you. The definition of success is just simply doing it. If she says yes, that's nice. If she says no, okay, you can deal with it. But just getting that first one done, man, might lead to the next one and the next one and the next one. So that's what you're going for today, okay?
All right, man. Thank you so much.
All right, let's talk to you tomorrow, okay? You might not be thanking us tomorrow.
We'll see.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, boy, what have we done?
Oh, no.
Have we
just sent him into the lion's den?
What have we done?
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It seems silly, and I'm not exactly sure why I'm so nervous to tell you guys about this. But I am. Going down to the airport where they are taking my picture, where I will be on the billboard.
No!
Yes, I am. Can I have my parking spot now?
An Atlanta national treasure.
That was a very Christmas thing. But you know what I mean.
All right, so for those of you that don't know why this is a big deal and why I'm so excited about it, this is all I've ever wanted. So you know how much I absolutely love to travel. I mean, this is really, I mean, if you want to call it a hobby, it's the only hobby that I have. I love seeing the world. And I go through the Atlanta airport how many times a year? I'm guessing that outside of business, as far as media goes, I use that airport more than anybody else in Atlanta, right? So my ego couldn't handle it. Every time I was at the airport and I would see Atlanta personalities on those big boards, you know, like when you're going up the escalator, mm-hmm. right?
To get to baggage claim,
you'd see like a celebrity chef or somebody from the Hawks or even somebody in media, and I'd be going up the escalator, I was just like, I want to be that guy. When will they ask me? I want to see me up there, right? So, I mean, this is years in the making. In fact, we even helped Brian Littrell get on one of those billboards. We called the airport for him and said, hey, how can you guys do this without Brian Littrell, right?
So, but yeah, as you go up the escalator, I mean, there's Jermaine Dupri saying hey. Uh-huh. There's Luda saying hey. There's the mayor saying hey. All we ever wanted was Burt Weiss saying hey.
And now you will see me up there, right?
That's crazy.
So I get this email about a month and a half ago, and I wasn't really exactly sure, to be honest with you, what it was all about. But they were congratulating me for being selected and asking me if I wanted to be an Atlanta ambassador for the airport. And I'm like, it sounds cool. I'm not exactly sure what it's all about. And then I almost sort of forgot about it and had my business manager give him a call. And then she hits me back, and this is a couple of days ago. And she's like, hey, I just want to let you know your photo shoot is in a couple of days. And I'm like, what photo shoot? And she's like, for the Atlanta airport. It's happening. You're going to be on the billboard.
What?
I didn't even realize that's what it was.
Because you didn't read the email.
I didn't read all the way through the email. So I wasn't exactly sure what it was, but now I've got the details on it. They sent me a huge pack a couple of days ago, and it's taken everything for me not to tell you guys.
How you've held this in, I have no idea.
Well, because the shoot is happening today, so I wanted to tell you the day that it was happening. But the names on the list, like, you're going to know them. Me and Big Boy are getting our picture taken today.
Okay.
From Outkast.
Are you going to be there at the same time?
What?
I think we're all in like the same two-hour block, I think.
Okay.
So there is a good chance that we'll all be there together. So Big Boy from Outkast, his picture will be up above the escalators and all throughout the airport.
Is it Hartsfield Jackson ambassador?
Teddy Swims.
Shut up. Teddy Swims is going to be there?
I'm going to be there with Teddy Swims. This picture is going to be up all over the airport. I'm going to be up all over the airport.
Tell him we said, hey, we just interviewed him.
We know him.
Yeah.
That's our friend.
I love her so much. Rashawn Ali Smith.
She's the best.
She deserves it. She's been doing radio and TV and been an amazing ambassador for Atlanta for over 25 years. AJ Terrell used to be a wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. He's beloved. He went to Westlake High School. A dude named Evander Holyfield.
I've heard of him. Yes.
Is going to be there today. Mm-hmm. And then on the same list, it says me, Burt Weiss.
That's so exciting.
So, yeah, I'm going down there today. I'm doing the photo shoot today.
What are you wearing?
They tell you it's going to be one of those. You've been to the airport, so you've seen
my
like
Atlanta.
My
airport shirt or something like
that? Yeah, I could either pick like a black hoodie or a white t-shirt.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty basic stuff. I'm getting my hair done and makeup done and then heading on down to the airport. I'm so excited about it, man. Like, I mean, to be honest with you, like the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame thing was kind of nice. This is what I wanted.
To be in the airport.
This is what I really, really, I wanted my son and his friends when they go through the airport, like, and they're going on trips to like, hey, that's my old man there.
That is so cool. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, man.
All right, so we all need to plan a trip together.
Right.
That way when we come back, we get off the plane train and we stand there at the bottom of the escalator and we just sit there and we wait for your photo to pop up.
People are going to love us blocking the entrance to the escalator.
I'll get more details today, but they said kiosks also. Let me read it to you guys. It says your picture will be on the board when you come up the escalators, and you'll also be on kiosks and other digital social outlets.
I've seen them around the airport.
Me too. Okay.
Like these stand-ups and the digital, and it's just like the ambassadors popping up for the airport.
And I'd be like, hey!
Don't do that. try to be cool. Try to be cool.
No chance. But I'll let you know how it goes tomorrow morning. I'm super excited.
So are we doing like a serious look, a big old smile, like, or just a grin? Like, how have you been practicing your face in the mirror?
No, I have no idea. You know, you have taken pictures with me before. I have one move.
Yeah, you do.
And it's looking right into the camera and smiling with my hands in my pockets. That's the one right there.
It's going to be like a 2-second photo shoot.
That'll be it, man. All right, Rebecca. So let the singles know where they need to go to meet people, or is this meet men?
I would probably say men. Seems very straight, but everyone who's anyone is finding love at the Painted Pickle.
Wait, really?
Oh, is it really?
Yes. And okay, everyone who's anyone is my one friend, but she's so chronically single that I think if it happened for her, it can happen for anyone. So the Painted Pickle, it's like the pickleball emporium of Atlanta. It's between like Buckhead and Midtown. And every Friday, they have this social round robin, which is like this co-ed pickleball game where you can show up and play based on your like level of expertise.
All right. So I am going to be such a Debbie Downer. I'm going to rain on this parade because I just saw a viral video from an orthopedic surgeon's office and they went around and talked to every single person saying, what's one activity you will not do? And every single one of them said pickleball, because every single injury that come, not every single, but a majority of the injuries that come in and ultimately need surgery, are people playing pickleball?
Yeah,
well, it's because like the median age of pickleball players is like 75. We're just kind of like lowering it a little bit.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I will say, so I had heard that this was the place, not necessarily Painted Pickle, but the pickleball courts was the place to meet people. So last year, me and my friend Taylor went on a mission to go find love at the pickleball courts. And I'll tell you, the only people that were there were couples, gay guys, and butch lesbians.
Oh my God.
And us. And we weren't getting any from anybody unless somebody wanted a foursome. So.
Look, they've got one up on the top floor of Lifetime right here at Sandy Springs, and I go up there from time to time just to check it out, and it seems like very fit people in their like 30s and 40s that are hanging out up there.
My dad did tear his Achilles heel playing pickleball, but we have spry young ankles, so I feel like we can find love and a little exercise maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe you can meet an orthopedic surgeon after you tear
there
your Achilles. All's well that ends well.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
It's a little shocking yesterday, to be honest with you, listening to Mo really be honest and vulnerable about what he's going through right now. He's had a lot of death around him, to be honest with you. And the last thing that kind of set him over the edge was he was up in New York this weekend. He was there for a funeral for a relative, then found out a childhood friend was also killed. And then he was very close to a Burt's Big Adventure child that passed away last week also. So he broke down yesterday. And I think you guys all heard that if you were listening. If you didn't, it's up on the podcast. And a lot of you guys have reached out, but he took today off. And this is what a mental health day is supposed to be about.
For sure.
Right here. This is the one right here. This is like, no excuse. Oh, I'm just tired. This is, I just can't get up and I can't perform because my body is just giving out on me. And that's what he was going through. And we heard that yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was painful to listen to, but it was real life. So that's why you're not hearing him this morning. All right, Cass, what do you got?
Someone on this show has said something that is so blatantly false about someone else on the show. I am here with receipts, and I am going to deliver justice in a way that will rock their world.
Okay.
Almost. Well, you know, before I get into it, Kristen, do you have anything recently that you've said that you think you should eat those words?
Towards somebody else on the show?
Yes.
Here's the problem. I'm on a medication called Lexapro, and it really, it's my DGAF medication. Uh-huh. So I, like, if I say something, I've gotten really good about just not remembering stuff. Mm. So in all sincerity, I'm going to blame it on the meds. I don't remember saying, it's a possibility. I'm saying it's a possibility. Mm. I could be the culprit, but if I am, I'm going to have absolutely no clue what I said to make me guilty.
Blame it on the Lex, that's the Lex,
Lexapro. Uh-huh.
Bert, do you think you've said anything?
I can only think the first thing that comes to mind is you and I having the disagreement about handwriting cards, which, by the way, yesterday was Amanda's birthday.
And
I think I got more credit for handwriting the card than I did anything else
this
we did yesterday.
This is character growth.
Okay. Growth king.
So that might be it. That's the only thing I could think of.
All right, Abby, anything come to mind?
Did I get like a fact wrong in eBuzz?
No.
I mean,
almost a year ago to the date on April 24th, 2024, one of you came from my girl Kristen over her hobby of TV watching. Mm-hmm. Does this ring any bells?
Yeah, that would be me. That sounds like a real cop out.
Yes. Katie, roll the receipts.
Kristen, would you like to represent the people that have TV as a hobby and aren't successful?
I'd like to think I'm somewhat successful.
Well, maybe if you stop watching TV, you'd finally get a Gracie.
Oh! So bad about it immediately after. Like, my face just went immediately red. Like, I know that was a good joke, but that was harsh.
So tell people what the Gracie is.
Gracie's like one of the biggest awards a woman in radio can get.
It's kind of like winning an Oscar, but for radio.
Yeah, for women.
Bert.
Yes, Cassie.
You do not need to eat your words today.
Oh.
Abby needs to eat her words.
What?
Kristen, You have won a great
what?
Day!
What? What a day!
Syndicated.
I knew nothing about this. What?
You won a crazy
no,
event!
I did.
Yes! No, I did!
Yes, you did!
Wait! Tell us! Tell us!
No, wait, I look like this. I went in there and I talked to Tommy and I was like, whoever did that to her face is cruel.
So Kristen, this is the most Kristen thing that's happened on the show in a long time. So Kristen is supposed to be using her forehead for a billboard this morning. We haven't been able to execute it properly. So she literally is doing the show with a sticker of a sponsor on her head this morning. And in ink, she's got the phone number of the sponsor as a mustache. And this is the way she's finding out she won the most prestigious award in radio for a woman.
I did not plan this like this, okay?
If this doesn't prove her commitment to radio, her commitment to the bit, I don't know what will.
No, hold on a second. I actually won one. I submitted you for a nationally syndicated co-host.
Cassie.
And you won.
No.
And I would like to read the letter that I wrote about you.
Congratulations!
I've wanted this for such a long time.
I know you have. Now, my airport is your Gracie. Yours is way better.
Just to give you guys some context who don't know the Gracies, it is from All Women in Media, and it is all of media, right? Not just radio. Mm-hmm. Past winners of Gracies have included Michelle Obama, Taylor Swift, Hillary Clinton, Selena Gomez, Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Nicole Kidman, Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, Barbara Walters, Betty White, Kerry Washington, Mindy Kaling, Claire Danes, Lisa Kudrow, Soledad O'Brien, Robin Roberts, Christina Applegate, Maria Shriver, Ava DuVernay, Faith Hill, Melissa McCarthy, Amanda Seyfried, Glenn Close, Angelica Houston, Martha Stewart. The list goes on. And Kristen, you are now a Gracie winner.
Look at me.
She said Betty White.
I know.
It's your fave.
That's why I left her in there. Here's what I wrote to the Gracies committee.
Oh my God.
Along with sending some of your breaks from this past year. I said, Kristen Klingshern is the co-host of the nationally syndicated morning show, The Burt Show. And while Kristen was initially hired to bring an extra dose of funny to the show, which she more than accomplished, she brought something else. A willingness to expose the vulnerabilities that most women bury deep for fear of judgment and societal pressure. Kristen has opened up about everything from struggling with her body image post-pregnancy as she ages and dealing with grief over the death of her father while helping other female show members navigate their own grief to broaching topics many mainstream radio hosts shy away from, like talking about an op-ed piece she wrote over the recent controversial IVF ruling, and she was open about her entire IVF process on the air. But in addition to sharing her vulnerabilities, Kristen sought and achieved to build a community of people off the air that help women. This year, her Pino Period Party, which benefited the nonprofit Helping Mamas, the Baby Supply Bank of Georgia for Women in Need, raised over 51,000 period products for menstruators in need. But the products weren't just raised and dropped off. Kristen connects with the audience in such a way that over 300 people gave up their Sunday to actually come and sort those products into period kits for women and girls in need. Kristen's willingness to be open about her occasional insecurities in her career or being open about how she feels like she's failing as a mother in some ways. These are all from the audio I sent, by the way. I'm not trying to harp on all your insecurities.
it's accurate. Yeah. You're good.
Connects to so many listeners, both on and offline. It's rare to find a co-host who manages to switch from humor to emotional depth with such dexterity and to find someone who can build a loyal audience not only on the air, but one that extends to off the air is rare. Kristen plans the daily show schedule, coaches cast members who are new to radio, is involved in producing the show, is involved in planning promotions, creates A-plus content, and not only does she do this while being a working mother, she does it while also supporting and uplifting other women. She makes women feel seen by sharing her own vulnerable life experiences. She could just rest on her humor laurels and be wildly successful on that skill alone, but instead she takes it one step further and brings a well-rounded, real human angle to the show that connects with female listeners across the country. To be a woman is a blessing and a struggle. To be a woman on a public platform like national radio and be willing to lay yourself out there so that other women don't feel so alone, that's above and beyond.
Oh, Cassie.
And I'm not the only person to say congrats.
Oh, well, I love you, girl. I love you.
And I've got a few other people who want to tell you congratulations on your win.
My name is Dennis Dillon, or Dead Air Dennis. I think the billboard said every time they win, she loses. They were the Kentucky football team. She was Kristen Klingshern. You've never seen a more motivated college football team that season. Of course, in those days, radio listeners came to know her as Kitten. But before that, she was the hot hockey chick. I can still show you the exact spot I was standing when I first met Kristen Klingshern at Rupp Arena after a hockey game. We smartly and quickly hired her as our promotions person, only to have her stolen from us by our vaunted Big Brother station in Cincinnati, WEBN. Fast forward a couple of years and we stole her back here in Lexington at Classic Rock 92.1. I can tell you again exactly where I was in my car when I got the phone call from our operations manager. He said, Kristen wants to come back to Lexington with the caveat that she gets her own radio show and she wants you to train her. That put a big smile on my face, and Kristen Klingshern has been putting smiles on faces ever since. I'll tell you, her training program basically consisted of me just turning her microphone on. The rest was Kristen. I'm trying to wrap this up as quickly as possible. It's not easy. 2 or 3 years with Kristen or Kitten is almost like a lifetime. I'll let her explain the billboard and perhaps the stunt where she decided she was going to slide down every pole at all of the Lexington firefighting stations. Essentially, what I'm getting to say here is congratulations, Kristen, on your award. I am so very, very proud of you.
This is Mike Morse, the guy who drove you around Raleigh, North Carolina, God, almost 20 years ago, trying to convince you to take a job on the radio at G105. As I sit back and think about everything that's going on with you, I'm so proud of you. A lot of my favorite moments in my life, also, let's be honest, some of the hardest, some of the craziest, were with you sitting right by my side. Honestly, when I think about the Gracie Awards, there's never been another person more deserving of this award. We're trauma survivors. We're Thunder buddies. We're best friends for life. I'm so, so, so proud of you, and I love you. Congratulations, girl.
Hi, it's Randy West. I was Kristen's program director at G105 in Raleigh, North Carolina. Kristen, congratulations on this Gracie Award. I am so proud of you. No one has exhibited more professionalism and grace throughout their career than you. You totally deserve this honor. Congratulations.
Hi, this is Mary Berner, president and CEO of Cumulus Media. Congratulations to Kristen on winning a Gracie Award. It is truly a huge honor to be recognized this way, and we are all so very, very proud of the work that you do, Kristen, and the way that you represent women in radio. Congratulations. We're all thrilled for you.
Congratulations, babe. I don't know what took the Gracie so long. I've been saying you the best for, like, years. Get with it, Gracie Awards. I love you.
Congratulations, Mama. I love you.
Oh, congratulations, Kristen.
That's awesome.
Oh, gosh, I'm a hot mess.
No, you should be. You don't even know how hot a mess you look right now. You really have no idea.
I'm like, if this doesn't sum up me right now, I don't know what does.
Congrats. So is there like an award show she goes to? Does she go on stage?
It is the 50th year of the Gracies, and the gala is on May 20th at the Beverly Wilshire in Los Angeles.
Whoa.
And that is where everyone will gather for the Gracie Awards. But congratulations on winning nationally syndicated co-host.
Deserved. So well much. Deserved.
Wow.
Overdue.
And there's breakfast outside for celebration.
Congrats.
Thank you. I would say I'm going to go fix my face, but I don't think there's anything I can do to fix.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.